Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Eric Jackson, coming to you live from Fort Hood, Texas. Now, to join in the conversation today, you can dial in at 347-838-8622, or you email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Now, you know, this week we were talking about politics, and we're not really getting into the candidates or anything like that. We're just giving you a basic knowledge of what each party stands for, and the different definitions of the terminology that you hear every day that you may not know exactly what it is. I know sometimes I don't. But before we get a little further into that, let's go ahead and talk about the NBA playoffs. You see, last night there was only one game played, the San Antonio Spurs. You know, the more they play, the more invincible they look. I actually thought Oklahoma City would give them a little better run for the money than what's going on right now. But again, last night, San Antonio made it look easy with a 120-111 victory. Now, San Antonio's up 2-0. Of course, game three goes back to Oklahoma City for Thursday night. But I think the next two games are very important for Oklahoma City. They have to find a way to even it up at least. Put some kind of fear in San Antonio. But right now, San Antonio is rolling. And out of the four teams that left, they definitely look like the best team. But stranger things have happened. We shall see. Well, the Miami Heat, they're looking to go up 2-0 against the Boston Celtics tonight when they resume their series. Of course, the series, the game is still in Miami. Of course, you got the Celtics who, always are in the playoffs. But then you got the Miami Heat, with all the publicity and the stars, and it'd be interesting. But I still say this series has a chance of going 7 games. But you never know. It just depends who decides to come to play. Now, before we get to NBA playoffs, have you wondered? Now, the San Antonio Spurs have won 20 straight games. 20. That's including playoffs. But whoever listened to them, whoever knew they were winning that much? Oh, just one moment. I say I have a call early. Hold on. Let me see what's going on. Hello, caller. Welcome to Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, sir. How you doing? My name is Slahuddin from New York City.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, very good, very good. I was calling about the title of your show today, but are you changed? You shifted to sports, or is it open mic?
No, it's open mic. No, I just usually start my show off with the little sports, and then we get right into the topic. And the topic today is politics, conservative or liberal. Which one are you? So you got something you want to weigh in on?
Oh, sure. It's like, to me, within the context of this society, it's like two sides of the same coin, I don't think that they're really, it's pretty much like good cop, bad cop. I think it's been demonstrated that neither one is really operating in the best interest of the masses. I consider myself to be a pragmatist, if you will. I basically some people would, if they wanted to put me in a category, they may perceive me at, you know, various times conservative or liberal, but I don't consider myself in a category. I just, you know, basically what's expedient and what's practical, and that's all it is.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because I believe that, you know, if you're really going to pay attention to the issues, that's basically what you have to be. You know, you really have to be open-minded to, you know, you just can't say, well, I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative, because it's so many variables that's included in those titles, you know, when you should just actually, you know, just go with what's best, what you believe in. You know, how you feel about that?
Oh, I agree with you 100%, really. And you're right. I've noticed what people often do is, in order to fit into a particular category, they'll wind up compromising their values instead of voting according to, as you said, their best interest, or voting according to their beliefs and their agenda. So, you know, you have some people in the black community who initially you know, may have come from the liberals and the Democrats and out of the civil rights movement, and then the liberal party began to be transformed, and abortion, and then, you know, gay issues and the feminist movement. But blacks still maintain that connection, many of them, with the Democratic Party, even after the, you know, the DLC with Clinton, the New Democrats, Democratic Leadership Conference, which really transformed the Democratic Party. But blacks still maintained the connection with the Democratic Party, even though the Democratic Party has shifted drastically away from the original civil rights movement. So, you know, in the terms of liberalism, you know, so liberalism now is not working. At one time it did work in the best interest of black people, but now it certainly is not. But still people maintain that connection. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's really about what's in our best interest. You know, we have permanent interests, not for permanent friends. You know, so our attachment should be based on, what our agenda is, and never compromise that agenda simply to fit in. You know, like the goal becomes greater than myself, simply to fit into this organization. You know, compromising in a marriage, if you will. You're married to this party. We're not married to this party. In fact, we're not even married to this country. Immigrants come here all the time. They don't come here because they love America. They come here because there's opportunities here. When the opportunities dry up, you know what? They're gone. Yeah, I'm not even married to this country, but talk about it. Am I right or wrong, man? You know,
hey, I mean, you actually have a point, because most time you're right, especially certain immigrants, like you say, they come get the education, and then once the education, they've achieved that education, they're gone back to where, you know, their host country to use that education. You know, whether it's against us or, you know, just for their country, you know, that's what they do. You know, and, you know, like you're saying, I was saying, you know, being liberal or conservative, you know, you really can't say you one or the other, because somewhere within the process, you're going to actually be on both sides one way or another. You know, so it's more of a compromise than actually just saying, I'm just a liberal, I'm a conservative. You know, because both parties actually, you know, they say one thing, but if you really listen to them, they're going down the same road until a certain point, then they'll break off, you know, like branches on the tree, but they always come back to that root. So, which is trying to make the American people happy. You know, and that's basically what it's supposed to be about. You know, it's just what can I do or say to get me to where I need to go? And then, you know, I'll see what I can do.
You know, that's so true. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, that's so true, bro. You know, it's like we know that with the Democratic Party, black people, we tend to vote, was it some 90-95%? You know, they take us for granted. They don't have to. They don't have to appeal to us. They don't have to offer us anything. So therefore, we would have more power if we would let them appeal to us instead of us appealing to the party. We've got it backwards. The party should be appealing to us. The gay lobby has hijacked the Democratic Party. The feminist lobby has hijacked the Democratic Party. You know, and they don't compromise. They say, listen, this is what you want. We'll deliver you some votes, or we'll deliver you, you know, they control certain sectors, certain communities. The Hispanic vote is taking precedence. All these other groups have taken precedence over the black vote. Why? Because we compromise. We're not playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. The game is competition. You know, this is what capitalism is about. This is what the society is about. It's not about kumbaya and loving each other. Despite the rhetoric about diversity, people coalescing, they're not coalescing. You know, you have certain industries where Indians, I live in New York City, Indians, you know, Arabs, Hispanics own most of the bodegas, a lot of Indians own gas stations and dollar stores. You know, these ethnic groups occupy certain markets, and they basically freeze other groups out of those markets. So, I mean, in terms of economics, politics, and so forth, it is a very racialized society. And if we don't realize that and stop trying to get people to love us, you know, instead of pursuing our own interests, then everything else will fall into place. Respect, economics, everything will fall. It's not about love. It's not about emotions. You know, that's what they talked about, the problem with the civil rights movement. They saw social acceptance instead of economics and political power. They wanted to sit next to somebody in a school, or sit next to somebody at a counter at a diner, when it really wasn't about that. The goal should have been to own the diner. So I don't have to worry about somebody discriminating against me. The goal should have been to not to be an employee, but to own the business so that I can employ my own people. That's what everybody else is doing. So a lot of that has to do with the leadership was misguided. I'm sorry, but leadership was misguided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is true. And I think the other part of it is, you know, and which is the purpose of my shows this week, you know, a lot of times we're not educated, or we don't look into exactly what we're supposed to be representing, or what our so-called party is supposed to be representing and what they stand for, you know. Or, you know, you quickly get in a conversation and somebody asks you, well, which are you, a liberal or a conservative? Are you to the right or to the left? You know, and, you know, you'll say, well, I'm to the right. But do you really know what being to the right means? You know, do you know what your position means? You know what I'm saying? You have no idea. So if you don't know exactly what you're standing for, sometimes you just stand up and look crazy. You know, and as you said, you know, if we're striving for the wrong thing because we believe in the wrong thing, or we just don't know, you know, of course, ignorance is no excuse, because the knowledge is out there. All that you have to do is look for it. But in order to get to where we need to be, we need to be educated. You know, everybody get caught up in the elections, you know, well, I'm voting for this guy, I'm better vote for that guy. But do you know why? You know, do you know why you say you're voting for this guy? Just because of the ads you see on TV, that's not good enough. You got to do the research and the education to figure out what's going on.
Talk about it.
You know, that's my point on my show. You know, I want to educate our people and people in general as to what's going on. Like yesterday, I broke down, you know, the two parties, Democratic and Republican Party. You know, and doing the research, you know, I found out Abraham Lincoln was the first Republican ever elected as president. Most people didn't know that.
Exactly.
See, and that's the kind of knowledge that we really need to get out, you know, to our people so they will understand exactly what is being talked about in the political world so we can be more representative of what's going on.
Without a doubt. So. Exactly.
Well,
you made
a
point.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, it wasn't even important. Whatever you got to say is important. Talk to me.
Brother, we're so simpatico because, like you said, it's you know, call the League of Women Voters, you know, call the different parties and see what the person's platform is. Example, Barack Obama, right? What was his background? You know, a lot of people don't know. I mean, when he was a senator, U.S. senator from Illinois, when it was posed a question to the 100 senators about reparations for black people, now that's a consideration, even considering it, the possibility. He categorically said no. There's only one person who was in favor of it, was Dennis Kucinich, a white man, of reparations, you know, among the senators. You know, Barack Obama has ties with the Bilderberger Group. Barack Obama has ties with a lot of the corporate interests. The Black Agenda Report attempted to vet him under Glenn Ford. They posed some questions to him before he was elected during his campaign for president. And although they didn't divulge the information, according to their inquiries with the Black Agenda Report journalists, they basically determined that he was being lied on virtually every one of the questions they posed him. Unfortunately, they didn't make that information available, divulge that information to, you know, their readership, which was their failing. But, you know, as you said, mm-hmm. It's important to know who these people are, how they voted when they were legislators or senators or congress people. It's very important for us to know who they are. I know a lot of, for example, we know in terms of this society, American society, most of the electorate, most of the people who vote are female. A lot of the female, if you just do a cursory survey with most of the women who vote for Barack Obama, you get a sneaking suspicion that most of them voted for him because they think he's attractive. That's simple. I mean, Barack Obama's campaign had won, he won a marketing campaign for, he won a marketing award for best marketing strategy, and they called Barack Obama brand. So, yeah, I mean, the substance of what he does instead of style. Like you said, watching, video soundbite, advertisements and soundbites on television will not give you a substantive understanding of who this person is you're voting for. Like you said, caveat emptor, buyer beware. They're trying to sell themselves and follow the money, if you will. Where did they get, for example, where did they get their contributions from? Where are they coming from? Now that we have Citizens United, individuals can give as much money as they want and to directly to the candidate. So, and they don't have to divulge that who they are. You're getting campaign contributions from individuals directly to the candidates. And before, it used to have, a disclosure on who those people are. Now you don't have to. So, yeah, I'm sorry. It's just there's a lot, as you said, there's a lot involved in voting for these elected officials that needs to be taken into consideration. I'm independent, brother. Man, I look at myself. I'm an independent man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I try not to be affiliated with a party myself. I like to say I like to vote for the best person, who I feel is best for the country and for me. Because if you go ahead and label yourself a Democrat or a Republican, you really are limiting your thought process because it's automatically they're like, okay, this is a Republican, that's who I'm voting for. But how do you know? What he really stands for without doing the homework. If you can find out who giving the money, you may have a problem with some of these people that's actually giving the money. Well, if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622 or email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. I have Robert, correct?
Sal. Hello?
Okay. I'm here. Okay. We're having a pretty big discussion on, our political, the education that we need to actually do in the political arena. Most people feel like if you run, and that's when you have to know what's going on. But that's not true. Education, it goes further than just school. You're voting for people who's running the country, your states, your cities. And if by just saying, okay, this is what I'm voting, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating your children. You're cheating your neighborhood because you're not really doing the diligence to find out exactly what's going on. Or you have those that talk a good game, when it's time to come to vote, they don't even vote. But some of them are the lot of people that's complaining about this and that. Those are the things that, hopefully we can change. Because we really need to fix that. Because in doing this, you know, I was looking at some of the things, you know, compared to the liberals and the conservatives, they're different beliefs, like on the economy. They said liberals believe a market system is which the government regulates the economy is best. You know, and they believe the government must protect the citizens from greed of big business. On the other hand, conservatives say they believe in the free market system, competitive capitalism, and the private enterprise create the greatest opportunity and the highest standard of living for all. Okay. Now, what is such a? I mean, that's what they're supposedly their what word am I thinking of here? Agendas are. You know, but why does it have to be? Why can't it be what is best for the citizens of the United States?
Exactly.
You know, why do we have to have it all separated like that? Why can't we believe we need to know what's best for the United States? You know, there's always, you know, they always say, well, you know, like in a marriage, you know, they're supposed to be compromised. Well, why can't it be a compromise here?
Exactly.
Work together. You know, and that's part of the other problem. Nobody is willing to work together. You know, our education system sucks. I'm going to tell you, it sucks. You know, and you have work.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, I do apologize for that technical difficulty. I guess somebody really didn't like what I was saying because I got disconnected some kind of way. Wow.
I was a little nervous there.
You know, it was so nice to tell you. You know.
No, you were on the roll. I missed a lot of what you were saying.
Oh, well, what I was saying is, like our education system, you know, the liberals, you know, they believe public schools are the best way to educate our students. Okay, and you know, and conservative school vouchers, you know, create competition and therefore encourage schools to improve performance. But you know, whether it's a school voucher or not, the question is, what are we doing to keep the teachers that we need to teach our children? You know, most states now have what, the No Child Left Alone, where they have to take a test before they graduate. That system doesn't work. It doesn't work. No, most kids now, if they don't pass the test, they just get out and go to some college that's offering a certificate program and get their certificate and move on. No, so what's this with a voucher or whatever? What we need to do is fix the system, period. Now, quit looking for quick ways of doing it. You know, and you know, if you leaving yourself just in a bowl, basically, you know, then that's what you're doing. You're cheating yourself and your children.
You know, I'm fine. No, yes, sir. No, I agree with you. Like I said, we're really in agreement about a lot of things. Like I've heard school teachers say that the problem with the current educational systems is that it's more focused on the standardized testing than teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers spend a great deal of time, you know, trying to get the students to pass the regent and these standardized tests rather than actually teaching the students anything. So, yeah, they wind up being, you know, and he's talked about, you know, civics, they're not teaching civics, you know, how to transfer what they learn into society and be a good citizen, citizenship. You know, you made some excellent points, definitely.
You know, and, you know, it's bad that we're already so far behind the rest of the world as far as education.
Mm.
You know, most of our countries, their kids are required to take at least 2 foreign languages.
Mm.
I mean, it's not a choice. It's just something, you know, and they, when they go to other countries, they're able to understand and communicate. But most, we go to other countries first, they need to know, do you speak English? Well, in some countries, we look enough to where they did learn how to speak English. But if not, then we know. No, but we don't have spotlight on that kind of stuff because we're too busy worrying about this standardized test that most of the teachers say for SMB don't fail. So if the teachers can't do it, how are you expecting our children to do it? You know, without the education, we lost. Education is key to anything. You know, but in order to get there, you got to do your research and your homework. Find out what your so-called representative is doing in his office, in Congress, in the Senate. What is he voting for?
Hmm.
Now, is he really representing you, or is he representing something in his own interest?
Or the lobby that's lining his pockets. Is he representing AIPAC or, some lobby?
Yeah.
Oftentimes another country or a business has a lobby, and they're voting according to what that lobby, following the money, what their agenda is, not the agenda of the people. We're just leveraged to get those individuals in office. That's all.
Mm-hmm. That's all. You know, and, you know, everybody goes, well, you know, you made this promise, you made this promise, that promise. Well, we know that's part of the game. But the question is, are you going to do your research and see, you know, how many times have they made this promise and how many times have they kept the promise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, lip service is one thing, but actual action is something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the little simple thing. You know, being a veteran, you know, that's what we used to say. You have to pay attention to detail. You know, everything is not what it seems on the top, unless you pay attention to the detail.
And you know, when we were kids, what our parents tell us, listen to what they say, but watch what they do. You know, that dissonance,
mm-hmm.
right? Kind of dissonance. And, right. You know, was it Thomas Jefferson, although he was a slaveholder, he made a famous statement. He said, the price of freedom, and you mentioned vigilance. Thomas Jefferson
mm-hmm.
said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Once they get in office, it's not the end of it. You know, what is it? Frederick Douglass says, "Power concedes nothing." You know, without what is it? I forget. Well, you know this quote: "Power concedes nothing without." I forget the quote.
Okay.
Without pressure, without
at the moment. I understand what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I know a lot of listeners out there understand it as well. You know, but. Well, I mean, but the bottom line is we got to take control. You know, we got to do
mm-hmm.
our research and find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't do that, then okay. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know, real quick, I only got 90 seconds left in my show. Now, if you want to go and find out whether you're liberal or conservative as far as what they say, you can always go to www.blogthings.com and take this little test. You know, I took the test, and it said I was 35% conservative and 65% liberal. You know, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I what I believe according to that test. You know, so I mean, if you want to go there and take creature, that's fine. If not, do like I do, take it and laugh. Like, okay, whatever. You know, but it's there for you. You know, well, that's the show today, and I really enjoyed it. I want to thank my caller today because he
yes,
has been fun and brought some very, very good points.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, and join us tomorrow when our topic is going to be, it's still going to be politics, but Electoral College versus the popular vote. Who really elects the president?
Hmm.
And from then, and other than that, I'll see y'all tomorrow here on Let's Talk, and I'm out of here.
God bless you.
Wait.